Thank you for being here this evening. I ask you to say a prayer for me. I've been praying to the Lord the last week or so, just in my morning worship, my morning devotions, my evening worship. Every so often I would try to just step back, remove my, if you could step back and just kind of look at spiritual things, things of God from a distance, just kind of see what it consists of. Because maybe the easiest way to describe it is to hold the Bible up and start in Genesis all the way through Revelations and think of everything in between those books. Think of everything that's there. Think of every story that's there. Think of all the things of God we know Him to be. Step back and look at it from a distance and try to think, what is my takeaway from this? What is my takeaway from Genesis to Revelations? There's so much there. So much I'll never be able to understand. Some things I do understand. But just thankful for this. Thankful for the direction it gives. Thankful for the understanding that God does give. Sometimes I've expressed to y'all before that sometimes I like to try to think of something that I know I'm not going to quite be able to get a hold of, that I can almost grasp, but I can't really grasp. And then sometimes I'd like the ability to think deeper than I actually can. But just seeing how God has worked with ministers, men that have given their lives to going through these scriptures and dissecting them and trying to put meaning to them, and we benefit from those things. And just thinking of what is here and what does it mean to me. Well, many has been the time that I've opened my Bible and I've prayed the simple prayer that, Lord, I want something from you. Give me a great revelation. Give me a great thought. And then I can read a passage of Scripture. And at the end of that passage, my mind will be about as blank as it was when I started. And it doesn't always happen that way, but it has happened that way. But there have been those times, too, when I have that blank canvas, so to speak, that right before I close my Bible, my eyes will fall on maybe a scripture that's been highlighted. And it can be something so simple. Something maybe it has been a verse that has meant something to me from just a little child that I learned in Sunday school. Maybe it's a man that hath friends but show himself friendly. Maybe it's I can do all things through Christ. But just something so simple can mean so much. That's my little thought this evening, is the simple things. And what can we do with the simple things, and how important the simple things are from the Word of God. There is a time and place for deep, deep study. There is a time and place for getting those commentaries out and just diving into it and being able to take this story and know the underlying meaning of it and how I can apply it. And in this day and time, there is a time and place, and I do not want to take that away from what it's meant to be. But there is also a time and place for just the simple, basic things of God. I think, well, I know many times in my life, it's easy to overlook the simple things. It's easy to disregard the simple things. I've taken on the mindset before that, you know, I've had those things taught to me. I've had those things incorporated in my life, and I'm ready to move on, and I'm ready to get something with a little bit more meaning. But I just want to remind us this evening that the simple things, and I don't want to put value on this Scripture is more important than this Scripture, but those simple things are so very important in our lives. Those are our fundamentals. Those are the things that we are able to build on. I'll give you a little example of what I mean by disregarding those simple things. As some of y'all know, I recently started a new job here about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And, I've really been looking forward to starting this job, this position. And, I've referred to it as kind of a dream job, but went into it and found out rather quickly that there was going to be this long, drawn-out orientation process. And I'll just say that the orientation process ended up taking about 3 weeks. And part of it, the first 2 weeks, well, so let me back up. So this company that I've hired on with, they decided to hire another outside company to come in and give these PowerPoint presentations. And for the first 2 weeks, they lasted the first 4 hours of every day. And then the third week, they lasted 8 hours a day. Well, this gentleman came in to give these PowerPoint presentations, and he handed out 3 big binders apiece, just stacked full of information. And man, I was kind of excited to dive into this. You know, this is, man, here I am in a new job and I'm excited. Let's go. And let me see what you're going to show me. What am I going to learn? Well, I figured up it was probably somewhere, I don't know, 80 to 90 hours that we ended up having to sit through these PowerPoint presentations. And out of 80 to 90 hours, I'm going to tell you how long he kept my attention. Probably about 10 minutes out of those hours. About the first 10 minutes is how long he was able to keep my attention, where I was just sitting there and really focused in. Well, his PowerPoint presentations and what he had to present to us was titled Industrial Safety. Now, maybe some have heard of that, maybe some haven't, but I'm going to tell you it's about as basic as you can get when it comes to safety in the workplace. We were going over things on how to put on a pair of gloves, how to put on a pair of safety glasses, or how to put on a hard hat. That's how he started out. And I looked at that, and I thought, you know, I've sat through things like this for the last 8 to 10 years, once or twice, 3 times a year, and I don't need this. This has no benefit to me right now. And he very quickly lost my attention. Well, I consider myself kind of know how to respect a speaker when they're presenting, and I feel like I was raised in such a way to show respect and how to do that. And he did. He had my full undivided attention for about 10, 15 minutes. But as time went on, and the days went on, and you know, I have to kind of hang my head at this, but I looked around the room and cell phones started coming out as he was presenting his information. And you know what, before you know it, before the 3 weeks was up, my cell phone was out too, and I was playing on my cell phone while he was giving this information. But I say that to say this: his message was in the simple things. This simple things. Now, I didn't feel like I needed them. And I'm going to tell you, the third week, he actually did give out some information that I have found out now in my fourth and fifth week that I should have paid attention on, because he gave some descriptions of some equipment that I had no idea that he even gave. And I had to go back and get my binder and go back through some of this information. But I disregarded the simple things. I did not see them as an importance. I did not think they were going to be beneficial to me. And I missed out on some very valuable information. So with that being said, Lord, help us not to put aside the simple things, but to incorporate those things in our life just as we do when we want to, when we need that deep study for the Lord. But let's keep those simple things there and build on those things. So I have four things that I would like to bring, that I would just like to spend a little bit of time on. I'm not saying those are the only four simple things in the Word, but these are four things that the Lord, I felt, put on my heart. And when I say simple, I do feel like they're very simple. So simple, in fact, that sometimes there's scriptures, when I see them, they'll jump out at me. I think in my mind, standalone scriptures. There's not really much digging you have to do to get the meaning of it. It's a standalone scripture. It's very basic. It's easy to understand. Thank the Lord for that. And I feel these four things that the Lord has given me are kind of that way. But I just want to present them and remind us that these are the things we need in order to continue to draw closer to the Lord. So the first one, let's turn to 1 John 4 and 16. says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." My takeaway from that scripture is God is love. Maybe one of the very first scriptures you learned in Sunday school, or that as parents you taught to your children. God is love. What do we know love as? I didn't look it up in Webster's dictionary or anything. I think of it as an emotion, a feeling that we acquire depending on how things are going, depending on our circumstances. I see it as our love can be so wishy-washy, depending on what's going on around us. I think Brother Marty gave a definition of love in the meeting, and I can't even tell you what it was. I know at the time I thought it was very profound. I thought he had some great things to say about it. But God is love. Do you know everything that we benefit from in this world today? Everything that we know is because God is love. We are here tonight. We have this opportunity to meet here tonight because God is love. Everything He has brought me through, we heard this morning about the obstacles. Those obstacles that maybe that's places I've been, maybe it's places I still find myself in. Some of those things were places that we're in, and that's just life. It's just circumstances. But we have been in those places. We have come out of those places because God is love. We have the pricks and the prods that the Lord gives us. We're able to deal with life. We're able to go on to the next phase of life. Draw closer to the Lord because God is love. Everything I've been able to accomplish, every thought I've been able to have, everything I've been able to do is only because God is love. So, it's easy to think about us in this physical life and what we have and what we can possess And yes, we have these things, and we are a blessed people. We have this opportunity, but it's so much more than God just blessing us and loving us here in this physical life. God had a purpose for His love. There was a I thought I wrote it down. There was a scripture. Yeah, I did write it. 1 John 3:1, next page over. The purpose for His love. Middle ways through that. Well, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Many translations say the children of God. That is the purpose of God is love. He wants us for His children. He wants us to be able to call Him Father. And how are we going to do that? How can we get to a place where we can say, God is my Father. I am His child. We have to be willing to accept what He gave to us. And what did He give to us? What does the Scripture say He did because He is love? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. This is a Scripture we have heard so many times. And I think it's so easy to just quote this Scripture and let it be words on the page. His only Son. He died for you. He died for me. He was willing to take all my sins, all my wickedness upon His shoulders. For a world that was so undeserving of His love, God is love. And for that, He gave His Son that I can call Him my Father, that I can be His child. The second thing, Matthew 22:37. So God is love. What are we supposed to do in return? Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And I think this 38th verse is very important also. This is the first and great commandment. What does that even mean? To love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Is that even possible? Is it even possible to obtain that? And to give Him 100%? We live in a society where we have been fed the idea that if you want it, you can get it. If you want it bad enough, you can work hard enough to get it. So, some of the time, a lot of the time, we do just that. We can set something before us, and we will give every ounce of energy we have. We will give endless amount of hours. We will give blood, sweat, tears. It becomes our passion. And much of the time, if you want it bad enough, you can get it. You can obtain it. You can do what is necessary to get that thing. How much better off would we be as a society if we put the same amount of effort into loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, body, mind? One scripture over in Mark or John says strength. How much better off would we be if we put the same time and the focus and the energy on the loving the Lord, learning of Him, knowing Him, as we did with everyday things in our life. Now, many will say, "Well, I can't give the Lord the same amount of time that I have to go work hours in a day." I understand that. No, I don't think the Lord is going to require us to stay on our knees 24/7. But I think the simplicity of this Scripture, my takeaway from this Scripture was, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Is putting God in the place in your life that He deserves to be. And where is that? That's number one. That is above any job, any salary amount. That's putting God above your spouse. That's putting God above your children. That's putting God above your church, your pastor. That's loving God as much as you know how to love Him and putting Him first in your life. Love the Lord with everything you've got. Give it all you know how to give. And ask Him to show you how to give some more. Love the Lord with everything you have. Give Him all you have. Give Him your time. There is a balance. He understands that. But put Him where He needs to be. The third thing. And if we go on to the next verse. Verse 39, Matthew 22:39. So he said that was the first and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord. And here he brings out the second. He said, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Simple things. Simply put, regarding others, respecting others, and regarding their needs as I would my own. To look around, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Looking at others and knowing how I would want to be treated and treating others the same way. Do I want respect? Well, I need to look around and give those around me respect. We teach our children at a very young age, if you don't want little sister to hit you, don't go hit little sister. If I don't want Brother Michael to come and slap me upside the face, I don't need to go slap Brother Michael upside the face. It's, you know, if I don't want people to talk about me, don't go talk about other people. Make up your mind that you're going to treat others as you want to be treated. Commit to not gossiping, to not slandering, to not putting down on, to not belittling those that we call our brothers and sisters. Respect each other. We need each other. What's the song say? We need each other. How can we sing that if we are having squabbles among ourselves? And I'm not insinuating that we are having squabbles among ourselves. Just one of those things to be careful of. Love each other. Love thy neighbor as you would yourself. We live in a very selfish world. A very selfish world. We look at me, me, me. I remember a song, and this is not a gospel song by any means. There was a song that said, I want to talk about I want to talk about me. How'd that song? I want to talk about me. I could talk about you every once in a while, but I want to talk about myself. I want to think about myself. We live in such a selfish world. We live in a time that everybody, we think of our needs before we think of the needs of others. Let's look around. Let's look for an opportunity to love our brothers and sisters. And not just our brothers and sisters, but those we meet out in the world every day. Somebody cuts in front of me, what am I going to do in retaliation? Am I going to cut them back off? What are the thoughts going on in my head when somebody does something to me, when somebody steps on my toe? Lord, help us. Love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. And the fourth thing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks." In my mind, I would almost put this ahead of just about anything, because the Lord has done so much for us. He is such a big God, a great God. I think of that list of things we saw on the board this morning. And I think if I were in every one of those things we saw this morning at the exact same time, you know, I would still have much to thank the Lord for. If I was on my deathbed, I would still have a lot to thank the Lord for. If I wasn't able to come out to service, I would still have a lot to thank the Lord for. Too many times, and I've been mentioned again, I've shared this thought with y'all. We are needy creatures. We are very needy creatures. And the Lord sees those needs and He supplies those needs. I think we don't need as much or as many things as we think we do. But the Lord is faithful to supply those needs. But I think very often we look to the Lord as a vending machine, where we can just go up and press a button and we expect Him to give an answer, or we expect Him to give whatever we think we want or we think we need. Let me just challenge you. Whenever you fall on your knees before the Lord or you whisper a prayer to the Lord, start your prayers off with thanksgiving. Start your prayers off with thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for what He has done, for life, for breath. If you have woken, if every one of us here were able to wake up this morning and take a breath of air, thank the Lord for that. The simple things in life, the simple things that He gives us, that He fills our minds with. Thank Him for the deep things. Thank Him for everything, in every situation of your life. Stress on a job, stress in the home. The Lord can help us with those things. And as we wade through those things, we heard in the meeting, those are the things that we can benefit from and drawing closer to Him. Hey, I have to say, you know, I'll go through a situation. Can I thank the Lord that I just got fired from a job? Lord, help me. I've never had to do it, but could I do it? Thank the Lord in everything. In everything, give thanks. This simple. Let it speak for itself. In everything, give thanks. So God is love. And what are we to do with that love? Love Him in return. Give Him everything we've got. Our time, our energy, our focus, our attention. Give Him the love that He deserves. And then from there, love and show respect to others. Treat others as we want to be treated. If I want someone to treat me with respect, if I want someone to love me, if I want someone to say, put their arm around me and say, "Hey, come on, you can make it. You can do this." Then go put your arm around somebody and let them know you love them. Encourage them. Send them a text. Do something. Look around for a need. Love your brother. and then thank Him for all He has done. He is a great God. He is worthy to be praised. And I feel like I can speak for all of us. We do not give Him the thanks and the praise He deserves. I don't think we're capable of it. But let's do our best to try. Thank you for your time. Y'all pray for me.